Welcome, everybody, to episode 4 of WP Mainline for Friday, July 23rd, 2021. I'm your host, Jeff Chandler, joined by Malcolm Peralti. And it's a big week this week because WordPress 5.8 Tatum has dropped.
Tatum. I don't know. The name of that is always going to get me.
Tatum. So this release was named in honor of Art Tatum, the legendary jazz pianist. According to the release blog post, his formidable technique and willingness to push boundaries inspired musicians and changed what people thought could be done. So this was a big release, depending on how you look at it. I mean, you've got new, you can now manage widgets with blocks. In fact, I guess we'll stop right there at that first one, because that's probably going to be the feature that users maybe recognize at first, or it's one of the most user-facing features in WordPress 5.8. And it turns out it's also causing some issues for quite a few users. I've been watching the WordPress.org support forums since the release of 5.8. And there are users reporting that their widgets are now generating plugin warnings. Their widgets have disappeared. The widget screen has disappeared. Things have gone very wonky. And then when you start getting into themes and plugins that mess with widgets or widget interface, then things really start to get crazy. Thankfully, there is a plugin. You can go look for it on the plugin directory. It's called Classic Widgets. And when you install it, it pretty much puts back the widget management interface prior to WordPress 5.8. And in most cases that I have seen, this has fixed the problem or problems that people have been experiencing. And I was actually writing a post about this last night because there were some things I wanted to cover. And, I accidentally, I don't even know the shortcut, the keyboard shortcut to close a browser window. And last night I figured it out at the worst time. So those of you who have been listening to the show, remember how I talked about the JSON error and how I figured out that because of WordPress autosaves in the post editor, it kept pinging the URL, which kept increasing the score to the Cloudflare firewall, which then caused an error to where I could not save posts. So what happened was the web host, they installed this plugin that disables Gutenberg autosave. I'm usually good about clicking save draft when I'm writing the post, but last night I was just working on a post. It was about 2 or 3 hours. I was adding things. And for whatever reason, my hands made a certain configuration on the keyboard. In fact, I still don't know what the shortcut is. I think it's like control left shift N or something to close a browser window. I use Firefox. And the window disappeared. I saw probably a prompt that says, "Are you sure?" And I must have hit enter by instinct and boom. 3 hours of work disappeared. I felt very deflated, and you know, the post is gone. I want to try and get it back up. But speaking of what was in the post, I was going to cover the fact that it seems like this, you know, I can't help but think back to the rollout of Gutenberg, the block-based editor. Mm-hmm. Granted, it's the post editor. That's the thing everybody uses. That's the thing everybody interfaces with. And for that, there was this like long transitional period where there was actually notices in the dashboard. There was even a try Gutenberg call out, I believe, where you could try it out if you wanted to, and letting users know that, hey, this is going to be the default experience, but if you're not ready for it, or you don't like what Gutenberg has to offer, here's a plugin you can install, the Classic Editor plugin. And I'm wondering why this sort of transitional period didn't really take place with replacing the block editor or the widget manager with the block-based widget manager, because now we ended up with a lot of users who were upset because guess what? They updated WordPress. You have the expectation that nothing's going to break, but you go into the widget screen, which was completely revamped, and now things are broken. And not for everybody, you know, but for enough people to where you kind of scratch your head and wonder if the rollout could have been better, or if safeguards could have been installed to prevent these things from happening. I mean, the block-based widget manager has been worked on. I mean, they tried to get into WordPress 5.6, mm-hmm. you know, a year or two ago, and it just wasn't ready at the time. And I was trying to look through the official ticket on Track to see if there was any discussion on a transitional period, or should we warn users, and how are we going to do that? And I didn't see or come across anything like that. Now, there was, back in about March of this year, there was a post on the Make blog that said, hey, we really want you to try out this block widget manager screen that we've been working on, because it's going to be coming out later this year. And there was quite a few issues that were reported and bugs and what have you. And there were some people that participated in that. But, you know, come here we are at the release point of WordPress 5.8. And for some people out there, their websites just ended up breaking, or the widget screen disappeared, or widgets don't work. And now they're having to go through that. But thankfully, the Classic Widgets plugin has been the solution to most of those problems. I just wonder if there could have been a better way to transition users from the Classic Widget management screen to the new block-based widget manager.
Yeah, I think this is one of those why I wait kind of experiences. I often don't like roll out new WordPress updates right away to client sites or even to my own site, unless it's security related. I do have to point out though, like this was not a small or easy release. And I think it has like one of the largest contributors lists that I've ever seen. People were posting screenshots of it, and they needed to post it in like two or three.
Notice what you said, screenshots.
Yeah. It's pretty huge. It's over 500 volunteer contributors for this release. And so you would think with all of that kind of brain power and all that kind of effort that it would be a fairly quiet release or fairly easy release. They had a fair bit of time for release candidates and for beta tests. As you mentioned, this is a lot of this functionality is stuff that they've been looking at for the last two major releases that hasn't been able to kind of get mature enough to be released. It kind of feels a little bit like they just didn't want to delay it one more time. It was kind of the key focus of this release, and kind of come hell or high water, it's now out there in the world. And that's really not an ideal way to develop software. And I get it. You can't necessarily foresee how it's going to interact with every plugin or every theme or every option that exists out there in the WordPress ecosystem. But it's a fair number of people that are struggling with this, and they knew that it was going to be enough of an issue that they did release this kind of backwards compatibility, classic experience.
I just wonder if they could have did something similar to like what they did with Gutenberg, where they say, hey, you know, there's a call out. The screen is going to be changing. Widgets are not going to be anymore. We're transitioning this to blocks. We're going to have this block-based widget screen. Try it out. And if you experience issues or you're not ready to make that transition, here is a plugin that you can install. Maybe even right now, because if people had the Classic Widgets plugin installed prior to WordPress 5.8 dropping, they would not have seen those issues. In fact, they probably wouldn't have seen those issues until, you know, maybe they made the transition from the Classic Widgets plugin to the new manager, or maybe things would be fixed by then. I don't know. Yeah. However, the Classic Widgets plugin, I will say they plan on maintaining it to 2021 or 2022, or they'll keep going. They'll keep maintaining it as long as they deem it necessary.
Yeah, and I think that's a big reason about why they're not doing what you're recommending. Like we mentioned in the last episode, there's a lot of people out there still using the Classic Editor plugin to try to avoid Gutenberg. So how long would they keep this new, you know, Classic Widgets plugin installed to avoid that Gutenberg experience? And again, if WordPress 5.8 had come out without this being kind of one of the keystone things, I think the release overall would have been fairly minor in terms of what it allowed you to do, because a lot of it was relating to Gutenberg's integration into other parts of WordPress. And, there's not really any other features that like stand out to me as like the thing to hang your hat on as this is the feature of the release.
And speaking of other features, you can, in WordPress 5.8, it comes with a query loop block. So what this does is it kind of makes it possible to display posts based on specified parameters. It's like a PHP loop, but without the code. So I guess you can finally create a recent post widget or block and kind of display anywhere you want on your site. You don't have to use complex plugins or complex widgets. I've seen some hype around that. In fact, I think the developers are probably going to have fun with that because maybe they probably know a little bit more of what the heck all that query loop stuff is compared to users. But I look forward to checking out the block and seeing what how I can mess around with it, how I can use it. You can now edit the templates around posts. There's also some workflow helpers. So as you're working through a post or you're doing some things, you'll see little helpers pop up. Let's see, there is suggested patterns for blocks, and we're not going to go in depth into this week, probably next week, but I will say that this week, the official block pattern directory has been pushed out. It's now live, and I still have to go through and figure out what the heck a block pattern is, what the heck reusable blocks are. In fact, I think it was Jason Casabona. He recently did a podcast or a post kind of going over the differences between reusable blocks and block patterns. So I'm looking forward to getting into that and figuring out what this is. You can style and colorize images now. There's duotone filters. So if you want, you can have these cool looking images or whatnot in posts that have two different colors going on. The big thing for themes now is that there's a global style and global settings API. It's called theme.json. So what theme developers can do is use this to control the editor settings, available customization tools, and style blocks using this file within the active theme. Support for IE11 has gone by the wayside. There's now support for WebP, which is supposed to improve lossless and lossy compression for images on the web. Now, apparently WebP images are around 30% smaller on average than their JPEG or PNG equivalents. However, I think your web host has to support or turn on a switch for WebP. Do you know anything about that, David? Oh, Jesus, Malcolm, man, I called you David. What a throwback.
I know, right? I mean, WebP support at the hosting level is not a big deal. Most web hosts support it at this point.
It's kind of like image magic, I guess. Well, maybe not like it, but I mean, it's like that for hosts. It's just a switch you probably have to turn on.
Right.
And there's also additional block supports, some new flags for blocks. There was quite a few changes dealing with the media in WordPress 5.8. Justin Tadlock kind of wrote about these a while back earlier this month. A really great article, by the way, WordPress 5.8 Media Library Changes You Should Know About on WPTavern.com. And one of the things he mentions that I saw people running into, one of the issues, is that the WordPress 5.8 has dropped infinite scrolling in the media library in favor of an Ajax-powered load more button. The admin screen and editor's media overlay will cap the initial and subsequent pages to 40 media items each. Now, this change was due in part, it was an effort from the WordPress accessibility team to improve the experience for end users. They said that there was two initial accessibility problems with infinite scrolling. The first is that it's nearly impossible for keyboard users to reach content appended to the screen. And that second, there was no audible feedback or instructions about how infinite scrolling works for screen readers. And of course, there is the usability and performance issues. Now, what I've seen in the WordPress support forums is that people were adding 100 images or more to their media galleries, and they can't see them all. And they're like, why is this load more button here? Why is this thing covering up a button or text in whatever media manager plugin they're using? So this has actually caused a few issues for people, and you can get around those by, I guess you can install a infinite scrolling plugin to re-enable infinite scrolling if you want to do that. Personally, I think infinite scrolling sucks. I was a proponent of it or advocate of it back in the day, but the more I use it and the more sites I come across with infinite scrolling, I just think it sucks. You know, I agree. I don't mind a little more button, and I think it makes complete sense to where you don't want to load all of the media items, 100 or more images all at once, because it makes a larger memory footprint. It's a performance impact. Kind of, you know, yeah, you might have high bandwidth, but I mean, images that are megabytes in size these days, you know, especially if you're taking from a phone or they're very large or high in resolution, you don't want 100, 200, 300 of those things all on one page or all in one gallery. So I think this change makes sense, but there's going to be people out there who say, no, I want infinite scrolling, or I want to see everything. Give it to me. Why'd you change this? And hey, that's why there are plugins.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of infinite scrolling either. Everywhere I see it, whether it's on the front end of reading someone's posts or in the back end doing something, it just drives me nuts. I actually recently had a client who their image library is super large. It's in the neighborhood of about 500,000 different images. And so whenever it's querying the database at all to just get the information for these images, it can sometimes take a bit, especially if you're, you know, querying like 100 or 200 at a time to get all those images to display them in the media library. And so as you're scrolling down, there's a lot of latency of like waiting for the database to get the response and build out that like list of images to show him. And yeah, I think this could be, or should be, or hopefully might be a positive change in terms of that performance. And I mean, how often really do you need an image that's, you know, older than 40 images ago? And if you do, you're probably, you know, not necessarily going to be visually searching for it, but maybe actually typing in some kind of word to be able to find it faster and more precisely. So I think this is a good change. I don't think it's a bad change in any way, shape, or form.
And speaking of WordPress 5.8, this release is the reflection. It has over 530 generous volunteer contributors, and collaboration occurred on over 320 tickets on track, with over 1,500 pull requests on GitHub. So, and there's looking at the release post, long list of names right there, and my name's not on there.
I haven't actually ever been part of a release. Have you?
Yes, I have. I've been part of at least one release, and that's because I fixed a typo. Had Constantine Oberlin help me out. He walked me through the contributing process. It was just a typo, but he says, man, you did it. You went through the whole process. I was like, yeah, you know, it's just a typo, but I got my name on there. I got the badge that I was a WordPress core contributor, and I'm like, all right, you know, my work here is done.
That's awesome.
But yeah, so there you have it. Folks out there listening, if you hit me up at WP Mainline on Twitter, let me know what you think of WordPress 5.8. If you're running into any issues, if you like what you've seen, if you like the changes, make a shout out to me. Let me know. So as we do this show right now, there's about four hours and about 20 minutes left. 420. How about that? This is weird how that worked out, but we don't condone drug use on this show, by the way. It's just a number. But we got 4 hours and 20 minutes left for WordFest Live, which is this really cool conference that's being put on by a big orange heart. It spans the globe, and they're doing 24 hours of WordPress sessions. There's I think 48 different sessions going on, and you could click and choose between stage one, stage two. They've got these community tents, the sponsor tents that you can go in. There are people and representatives from those companies hanging out in there that you can talk to and chat with. I thought it was kind of neat, the games tent, where you go inside this virtual area and each sponsor has like their own spinning wheel. And if you give them your email address, because that's like a hot commodity, you can spin the wheel and attempt to win a prize, whether that's a commercial license. They tell you what the name of the prize is, or maybe a web hosting account. Anyways, it's been put together. It's really well done. I've checked out three or four different sessions. I like the format. I like how the chat is there. Really, really good job, and really a job well done to everybody involved in putting this WordFest Live conference together. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I just wanted to give a quick shout out to Topher, who is working on this as well through Canberra Creative. And I think it's really great that he's been able to kind of focus on that on company time. I love when companies are able to donate time and effort towards these different conferences and events.
Yeah, speaking of Topher, I actually watched his Lightning Talk right before we recorded the show. He was talking about the story of HeroPress. And I know that story, but I wanted to hear it again because it's a good story.
That's great.
And if nobody has checked it out yet, please, please, please go over to HeroPress.com. Read some of the essays that are there. It's fantastic stuff. And who knows, there might be a nugget or two in there that will inspire you or motivate you, because that's the kind of content that's over there. So next up, request for feedback on requirement changes to the theme directory and theme review process. Now, you brought this up, and I was doing a bit of reading, and you actually have to go back to, and I like how they linked to the different conversations that they've been having, but they went on a phone call earlier this year. In fact, a lot of the discussion that was started on changing the theme directory and putting more focus on it was because of a couple of posts written by and published by Justin Tadlock on the Tavern earlier this year about the end of free themes and some of the other topics he was talking about. Now there's a lot of focus going on towards the WordPress theme directory. In fact, there was a stat that was published back in February or March, where 47% of active themes that they're able to track are not hosted in the WordPress theme directory. That number does not surprise me. Does it surprise you?
It's a little higher than I would expect, for sure. You know, I still, and I don't know about you, but I still, when I'm looking for a new theme for WordPress, I start with the WordPress theme directory.
I start with Google, which is probably terrible.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, you're potentially going to end up as part of that 47% if you start from that direction, because most of the themes that are going to show up high on a search are probably going to be the ones that are more commercial focused and thus maybe are not necessarily following or involved with the WordPress theme library. So, yeah.
Well, I know firsthand what happens when you search for a WordPress theme on Google. You get something that comes with things that it comes with baggage that you don't really find out about until the crap hits the fan. And you're like, oh, I thought this was just a theme. What is this base64 encoded crap? You know, well, what is this and what is that? Oh, I guess I shouldn't have got that theme from Google. But it's not all bad. You have to know what you're doing. You have to have some know-how, know what you're looking for, and know what is in the base of most WordPress themes. And there's just a crap ton of reputable WordPress theme companies out there to choose from. But the thing I found out this week that I never even realized, didn't even consider, is that there are a bunch of WordPress themes that you can buy and use that you can get from Etsy. Did you realize that?
No. Why Etsy? Etsy is the place where you get the, like, you know, crocheted whatever, or the little...
That's what I thought.
Oh my goodness.
You know, okay. I thought it was arts, crafts. So I'm on Etsy right now, and I'm going to type in WordPress themes just to see, you know, what it shows up. And boom, right there. There are 2,540 results for WordPress themes on Etsy. And my goodness, they pretty much all have like the same colors and the same. Are these from the same? These aren't even from the same people, but a lot of white space, a lot of beige, a lot of tan, a lot of, yeah. Boy, they look, that very must be minimal, a thing on very Etsy, minimal. That look.
Like typically a cursive script. Yeah, I mean, it looks like they're trying to market a theme for people who want to make their own like Etsy like store or something like that, like have their own website with kind of this like crafty artistic style.
Wow. And some folks and some agency, I guess if you want to call them agencies, design studios are selling whole packages on Etsy for $3,000, $5,000, $8,000. Here's one for $9,000 where it comes with business branding, website design, development. Oh, it's 50% off.
Oh my goodness. But none of these themes have review.
I just never realized Etsy of all places. You know, that's where some people are getting their themes.
Like, you have no idea what kind of data these themes are like grabbing from you, right? They could have tracking script in them to learn about like how you're monetizing your site, where your traffic's coming from, and being, and send that back to whoever created this theme. They could be the most inaccessible theme out there, and people with any kind of accessibility issues probably won't be able to use that theme. They could have all kinds of code and security issues. You have no idea what you're getting if you're going to Etsy to get a WordPress theme.
Thus, the WordPress theme directory and its requirements. So kind of go through what you've seen in the requirement changes, and is there anything that kind of sticks out at you to, that you could see as being like a red flag or a blocker towards a theme developer, theme author who wants to have their theme hosted on the directory?
I think one of the things that stands out to me is, you know, the separation of themes and plugins. A lot of stuff that I've previously purchased on ThemeForest, which is an Envato website.
You know, you're going to have to install some sort of plugins with ThemeForest themes.
Yeah. And, or they're trying to bundle it to try to convince you of like the high value, right? Like, you know, purchase this and you also get like WP Bakery and you get like all these other plugins for free. And then you, of course, you can't update those plugins because you don't have a license for any of them. But those kinds of bundles or that bundled action wouldn't be allowed on the theme directory. So a lot of those themes that you would see on ThemeForest, you probably wouldn't be able to find on the theme directory, and for good reason.
However, with the caveat, and one of the changes that have been proposed, that themes may only recommend plugins that are hosted on WordPress.org. Plugins may only be installed by user action, not automatically. So that's one of the requirement. That's one of the proposed changes. So in effect, you could have bundles, or I guess it would be a bundled suggestion or something. I guess as a theme author, you could suggest that, hey, we have built-in support for this plugin, and then you could link to it as long as it's hosted on the WordPress plugin directory.
Yeah, but what about something like Gravity Forms, which is like,
nope, can't do it.
But it's arguably one of the best like form plugins for WordPress. But because it doesn't have a version of the plugin on the WordPress.org plugin directory, my theme could be excluded for mentioning that we have support for it. I don't know. It seems kind of weird to put that in as a requirement that it has to be hosted on WordPress.org.
I was looking through the requirements. I don't see anything that's, I mean, when I look through these, and if I was a theme author, I could see myself being feeling like I'm inundated, or boy, this is a lot of things, a lot of boxes I have to check, but there are automated tools. And most of this stuff is common sense. Oh, that's Smokey. You hear Smokey? Is he barking?
Yeah. Wow,
that's cool. So Smokey made his appearance on episode 4 of WP Mainline. My wife just came home. So, and he's doing his job as a guard dog. But if we look at, you know, the requirements, I don't see anything that's controversial through here. No. Credence links, spam, block themes, the stuff they're talking about is just all basically common sense knowledge to me. It's just, I will say that the requirements, most of them are clear and concise, which is what you want.
It doesn't really deal with one of the major problems in the theme directory right now, though, does it?
Which is what?
Selling the pro versions of the themes.
Oh, the upsells.
Mm-hmm.
The upsells. So here's one of the requirement changes. It says number 12, selling credits, links, and spam. Themes can include one single font-facing credit link, which is restricted to the theme URI or author URL defined in style.css. Themes can also have an additional front-facing credit link pointing to WordPress.org. Themes must not display obtrusive upselling. Themes must not display upselling on the front, which I'm guessing the front end maybe.
Yeah.
And themes must disclose all affiliates. Well, I guess what it comes down to is if you're going to host a theme on the WordPress.org theme directory, you're doing so as a means of good faith, as a contribution to the open source community, as this is just something cool that you've done, that you've had. You're not going to be able to use it as a platform to draw people into a theme business you might have that's kind of going by the wayside. And there's been many companies over the years that have been pretty successful with their free themes. Have picked up a lot of traffic. They've done upselling, and they've made a substantial amount of revenue from the WordPress.org theme directory. And I think this particular requirement change will go a long way towards putting the kibosh on that.
I mean, we'll see. I mean, anything that makes the theme directory more useful, more user-friendly, and more high quality gets a thumbs up from me.
Yeah, maybe I haven't been there for a while, but maybe if I click on theme preview, I hope it doesn't, you know, they need some cool sample data. That's been a problem on the theme directory.
Always. I agree.
Previewing themes. Ugh. Yeah, but they're working on that along with a lot of other things dealing with the theme directory. But man, almost half of the themes that are active out there they're not hosted on WordPress.org theme directory. So
that's so many.
Yeah, but Etsy, how about that, Etsy? That was a surprise to me. So how about this Chris Wegman dude?
Yeah, I thought it would be interesting to talk about this as well. He's a well-respected, well-known developer.
He's going to love it that I'm featuring him on the show.
Oh, good. And I'm a big fan of his as well. I love the fact that he's really kind of covering his transition back into using WordPress. And not only that, he for a while had a custom WordPress theme that he developed himself and was maintaining himself. And it was like all about performance, and it kind of looked a little dull in my opinion, but that's neither here nor there. I think one of the cool things is he's decided to move over to kind of one of my favorite themes of the day, Bloxy, and really kind of separate himself from the act of, you know, developing on the website and focus more on being able to use his website. And I think that's a really good change that a lot of people in the WordPress space kind of, you know, ebb and flow in and out of, right? I mean, I've at one point created my own custom theme for my personal website. I don't do that anymore because guess what? I would rather spend my time writing content or interacting with WordPress in a different way than that.
You don't want to be trapped in tinkering hell where you're always tinkering and you're never writing.
Yeah, no. And I think his quote really sums it up nicely, right? In the end, for me, changing to a commercial theme is a big reversal from the idea of a minimal theme that I've been after for years. While the theme I build might have been minimal on data, it was never minimal on my time. And that's what we all really kind of need to think about, right? Like the goal of WordPress for me when I first came into this project was I was developing my own little custom PHP CMS at the time. And I said, this is taking up so much of my time. There's got to be someone that's already done this and done it well. And that's how I kind of stumbled into WordPress. And I think that, you know, while we see more and more competitors in the CMS space, while we see people rolling their own like Node.js, whatever, to try to make their own CMS, I think sometimes we also have to take a step back and remember, like, you know, it's just a publishing system. Like there's all kinds of them out there. Find the one that kind of best fits your needs and then get back to what you really want to do.
Yeah. And in fact, you know, that's like with the sites, I'm actually using GeneratePress, and he switched from GeneratePress to Bloxy. Mm-hmm. And I can only imagine, you know, what I was knee deep in GeneratePress trying to create WP Mainline last year. And I bet if I went into the back end, into the theme options and the elements, I would probably have to retrain myself. I have no idea where some of these things are that I could figure for my site design in GeneratePress. So I need like a roadmap just to mess around with what I've got going on. And one of the reasons why Chris switched from GeneratePress to Bloxy is it says it allowed him to get to where his destination quicker in terms of his website and his website design. So, hey, you know, it's all about saving time. Now, you know, it's all about, look, I want to focus on, like you said, writing content, not toying around and tinkering with it and getting everything to look right. The pixel perfect here, a block here, widgets there. But just give me something that works so I can write content, which, man, I love that because that's what I'm trying to do with WP Mainline. Just get the damn site working so I can generate content.
When I read it, I thought of you right away because I was like, I could see you writing a very similar article at some point. Like, oh my goodness.
Yeah, all I want to do is write content, but it's hurdle after hurdle after hurdle.
Yeah.
That's it. I'm just going with straight up static HTML website.
Oh, yeah, I could see that happening.
Talk about tinkering.
Yeah.
So let's see. Something that was, well, it's funny. It was funny to me, but in the reality of the way the web is going, it's unfortunate and kind of a stark reality of what you call link rot. But the story on Motherboard yesterday mentioned that they found out a defunct video hosting site has been flooding normal websites with hardcore porn. And what's been going on is that there's a domain, VidMe, which was a brief YouTube competitor that was founded in 2014. It shuttered its doors in 2017. Its Twitter account is still up, but the domain lapsed. And you know who purchased that domain? A little company called Five Star Porn HD. So now if you look at website major websites like the Huffington Post, the New York Magazine, the Washington Post, that have embedded videos from VidMe back in the day, they were actually people who ended up on those articles were watching porn and looking at different. It's kind of crazy. By the way, anybody out there, if you remember VidMe, you actually should probably go back and do an archive search of the text VidMe to see if you have embedded any other videos into your site and remove them. But this is kind of, this is what happens. I mean, the state of the web, the longer you're around, the links that you have. And there is, nowadays, everything is so embeddable. You've got OEmbed built into WordPress,
yeah,
where all you got to do is post a link and things show up. You know, YouTube, Twitter, all these things are embeddable. And all it takes is for the domain to lapse and somebody else to come in. And, you know, these links could go defunct for a while. But then a few years later, a new company comes in. They flip a switch and they turn on the focus of their site is all different. And now all those links that were once dead or showing content from that was related back to whenever it was is now showing something completely different, which kind of throws the web on its head. And it goes deeper into it, like link rot, the state of the web and how things are like a hallucination. And it's pretty intriguing to me. And, you know, thank God for sites like the Wayback Machine and the Internet Archive. And it's just kind of crazy. But I just wanted to point this out. Like, if you have any VidMe embeds, you know, you should do a deep search throughout your content, either on your WordPress site or any other WordPress site, if it's been around since 2014, and get rid of all those embeds, because you probably don't want to be showing people porn.
I mean, one of the things that could happen very easily is I'm sure someone in the community for the WordPress community could make a plugin that could, you know, help you scan your content to make sure you don't have any of these embeds. The funny thing, though, for me is, you know, we have tools to be able to figure out if we have a broken link, right? There's actually a whole bunch of plugins in the WordPress ecosystem that'll scan your content for broken links and let you know and make it easy for you to remove those broken links. But off the top of my head, I can't think of anything that does the same for like potentially broken embeds. And I'd be super interested if anyone in the community out there has some insight into how this could have been avoided, one, or two, if there is a tool that a plugin for WordPress that would have provided people with insight into, hey, you know, all your VidMe embeds are broken. Do you want to remove them?
And I was, after reading about link rot, where over time links just kind of break, or links to documents, those documents have changed. So those links are not really relevant in the context. Everything has been changed and it just, you end up with this crazy tangled mess. And I started thinking about, you know, WordPress powers nearly 50% of the web, you know, it's a very high percentage number. You know, does WordPress or can WordPress do anything or provide anything built in to slow down the process of link rot? And I think broken link checkers is maybe one of the first steps, maybe the easiest steps going towards that. But it just got me thinking, you know, what can WordPress do to slow down link rot and preserve the integrity of the web when it comes to linking?
You know, you say that, but my first thought is, do you know how many emails a month I get? Hey, I saw that you have this article and you're linking to this other place that's no good anymore. You should link to our article.
Yes. Yeah, I've received many of those. Yes. Yes, and we'll pay you money if you switch the link in this article to this article, because they found out that article is doing well or ranks well on Google. Yeah, and look, not everything has to be saved. Not everything needs to be archived. And, you know, there's that argument as well. You know, I don't know. I don't know what you do. The state of the web, you know, everything these days is just context-based embeds. It's just here today, gone tomorrow, or so it seems. And you could, you know, there's even like on social media, you could, you know, make a YouTube comment or a comment on someone's blog and it sticks around forever, and you can make a comment somewhere else and it's gone. You know, you don't have to worry about it. So some things are here, some things are gone. I don't know. I don't know what you do about it. Who knows? But link rot, you never want to get that, or gut rot. Yeah. It's probably even worse. Let's see. So you wanted to talk about the future of WordCamps.
Yeah. I mean, I have not been to very many of them. I've been a bad community member in that way.
Did you go to any last year? Okay. Trick question.
All of them? No.
Oh, okay.
I watched a few. I mean, the ones that did some live streaming, I definitely checked some of that. It definitely was not the same as attending a WordCamp. And I think I'm kind of burnt out with live streaming. I hate to say it. Like, I feel bad. Like, I was super interested in some of the topics for WordFest Live. I didn't go to any of them because guess what? They're streaming. And I want to be, like, if I'm going to do these kinds of events, I kind of want to be in the space. It's like the difference between, you know, listening to a song on YouTube and going to the concert live, right?
Well, it's unfortunate in that context, that perspective. It's unfortunate for WordFest, because what they're accomplishing, that format makes complete sense. They're having people from all across the world doing their live streams. I mean, for that format, it makes sense. But it just so happens that you've gone through a year of that format and all those WordCamps and all those live streams that kind of put the damper on, you know, what WordFest is doing.
Yeah. And I mean, I guess my suggestion would be, like, maybe when the world opens up even more and they want to do this again, maybe have, like, you know, three or four locations where there's like a in-person event happening in tandem with the live events. Or maybe we do like the good old fashioned viewing parties where friends or community members get together in their local, like, you know, WordPress community and watch these events live. 'Cause there's a lot of WordPress meetups out there that have been kind of pretty much dead in the last year as well. And I miss those too. Again, I've been a really bad community member in this respect, but I kind of want in-person events to come back for the things that I'm passionate about, because I miss them. I hope they happen again. I'm super anxious about the idea of attending them and being around hundreds of other people, but I really hope that it happens again soon.
Well, we know that WordCamps aren't going to happen this year. We know that. So the closest time you've got is next year, man. So you got to wait.
Hey, we're already in July of this year. So next year is going to come up before you know it.
What about I think meetups, actually, I think meetups are going to have the go ahead to start up a lot sooner than your regional WordCamps. And I'm vaccinated, so I'm not really concerned as to whether the people who attend these things are vaccinated or not. I mean, I've done the best I can to protect myself and I'm vaccinated, but, you know, there was a time where I felt like if we're going to hold these events that you should use your vaccination card and you could show the proof that you've been vaccinated, and only vaccinated people could attend the event. But now I don't know how I feel about that. I don't know how it's going to transition or how it will play out. I guess we'll see, you know, with the Delta variant and the other variants that are cropping up. I mean, the Delta variant could possibly get us back into pandemic mode, where we're back to wearing masks and we're back to doing what we got to do, social distancing, because, you know, that's how contagious. And it, granted, the vaccinations protect you, and hopefully, you know, it is to protect you, and not, you're not supposed to get as ill from the Delta variant and whatnot. It's just, but still, I think
it's complicated. Right?
I think that, yeah, it's complicated.
But would you go back to one? If one was being held in your local area next month or the month after, do you feel
next month or the month after?
Yeah.
Or
how soon would, or how, like, how far out would it really have to be before you'd consider it?
You know, if there was one happening, like, in September or in the fall, I'd probably consider it. I'd probably definitely do it. And, or, you know, definitely in September, you know, hopefully the weather was great, 'cause then you could just social distance outside. You could talk to people outside, you know, it'd be nice. But I've been out of the WordPress loop for like 2 years now. I haven't been to any WordCamps in like 3 or 4 years. But yeah, I think it's time. I wouldn't mind going to a WordPress meetup or an actual WordCamp event and just being like, man, I forgot about that. I forgot how nice this is. Oh, and that sponsored dinner, this food. Oh, that's good too. This free meal. I like a free meal. WordCamps are always good about free meals, you know?
Yeah. So I think I'm looking forward to them coming back.
My lanyard collection behind me from all the WordCamps I've been to is collecting a lot of dust. I haven't added anything to it in like 4 years.
So it sounds like you'd be willing to go. I can't wait for them to come back. I'd be interested to hear what the community thinks. If you're listening to this and you have an opinion one way or another on when WordCamp should start up, what they should look like, how they might work, go ahead and let us know about that. We'd be super interested to keep that dialogue going.
Yeah. Hit us up at WP Mainline on Twitter, you know, with your thoughts and opinions, or you can email me if you want to do that. WPMainline@gmail.com. And I'll forward the feedback if I feel like it to David. So, you know, it depends on how good of a mood I am. Oh, God, I called him David again. Man, what's up with me? Malcolm, man, I don't know why I've got David on the brain. Wow, I hope listeners are having a good time with this. This is great. And I also messed around with the microphone today. So hopefully I'm not popping anybody's ears out there. In terms of WP Mainline, I made a little bit of progress this week. Man, I got so deflated last night when I lost all my work. The first thing I got to do is I'm going to look and see if I can change or edit shortcuts in Firefox, because I never want to accidentally close a window again. I turn the autosave plugin off. I have it to save every 5 minutes. I don't care if it breaks the website. And if it does, then I'm going to complain to the host and say, look, I can't have it not autosaving, because this is what happened. It made me lose work. Anytime you lose work and WordPress has a bunch of fail safes built into where things have had to break pretty bad, or something catastrophic has to happen for you to lose work in WordPress. This was a freak accident, you know, to be honest. So I'm going to work on that. I'm a little bit closer to turning memberships on to the site and start generating some revenue, start making some moolah, some money, so I can pay the bills that are all over my kitchen table. And then other than that, just working on a few things and getting knee deep back into the WordPress and the WordPress community, which has been kind of refreshing this past week. And we'll see what happens.
How long till you have some swag? When can I buy the mug?
I don't know, man, but with WP Mainline, I mean, the sky is the limit. The train stuff I can have, the WordPress like train reference and little stuff I have. I mean, I could get really creative with swag ideas.
Please do.
and that's something I'll be working on. And oh God, you know what'll happen? I'll end up having a bolt on WooCommerce to WP Mainline, sell my own swag.
There's nothing wrong with that. I can help you with that. It'll be great.
Oh man, like a little WP Mainline, like a railroad crossing sign, but it's a paperweight. You put it right on your desk. I mean, just stuff like that I could do. Mm-hmm. Easy. Mm-hmm. That'd be cool. So that's going to do it for this episode of WP Mainline. You can find show notes for this episode and all other episodes on WPMainline.com. Just click the podcast link. You can now subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. I went through the process last weekend. I thought I did that. I didn't do it, but now I've gone through the entire process. And if you use the podcast app, it's not iTunes now, but it's Apple Podcast. If you go on there and you look for WP Mainline, you can subscribe to the show there. And over the course of the next few weeks, I'm going to add other distribution channels as well in case you use those services. But, I was very happy to hear from listeners out there that were very happy to hear that we're back. They're happy to hear I was back and you're back and we're all back.
Yeah, it's you that they love. It's all good.
Oh man, but I could tell from Twitter, I gotta get John on the show. He looks like he needs to vent. He needs to talk to someone, and I'm the guy for him to talk to. I can cheer him up. I can get him back to to what we need. Happy John instead of whatever we got going on, John, on Twitter.
All right.
So you could follow WP Mainline at WP Mainline on Twitter, or you could follow my personal account on Twitter, Jeffro, JeffR0, and Malcolm.
They can find me at Find Purpose on Twitter. And I'm continuing to run my business, PressTitan.com, and helping out at Camber Creative.
Excellent. So until next Friday afternoon, everybody enjoy. Have a safe weekend, and we'll talk to you again next week. So long, everybody.